Well, good morning again, Living Church. How are we doing so far? Good morning. Man, it has been an exciting, exciting summer here at Living Church. God's been doing some awesome stuff, like Pastor Max and Katie just said. Youth camp was a huge win. Rachel and I had the opportunity to go and hang out with some of the students and see what God was doing in their lives firsthand. It's so exciting seeing students going after Jesus and connect with Him. I'm so proud of you. For you guys that are junior high and high school students that are here in the service, keep loving God. He has great things in store for you. He has big plans for you. Camp was great. We have a ton of kids getting ready to go to kids camp. We had more volunteers than we've ever had at Rockin' Forth. Man, it's been an amazing, amazing summer. Exciting things have been happening. About a month ago, we finished the series Family Zoo. Remember, and we talked about how we need to know how to navigate all the different personalities and characteristics with our families, because sometimes it's like being in a zoo. And then we did a series that we just finished up last week talking about how His ways are greater than our ways, that our ways sometimes seem right, but that God's ways are much, much greater. And the greatest thing about that series, I didn't preach one Sunday. I don't know if y'all noticed that. I took 3 weeks off, and man, I'm so thankful for the team that God's assembled here. Rachel preached the first week, then Brandon came and talked about how God is with us in trouble. Then last week, Pastor Whitney knocked it out of the park as she talked to us about how God loves us and how He has a plan that's better than our plan, so we don't need to try to control everything and get all stressed out and worry about it. It was so good, and I think it's important for us as a body to hear truth from different opinions. You know, and that's the reason that we have other people come and speak and talk about what God's speaking to them and to us as the church. But then also, it helps develop other voices in the house. And God is raising up a great group and a great team here. Plus, it gives me some time off. Preparing messages is kind of mentally exhausting. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a Sunday every 7 days. And so to be able to take a couple weeks off and think and prepare and plan for the year, man, is really vital for me. And so thank you for the team for that. But today, we're starting a brand new series called Suit Up. Everyone say Suit Up. Suit Up. You know, in every action movie, there's always a scene where the hero walks into a room and he suits up. Whether it's a medieval, you know, time period, and they go and they put on the armor and the helmet and the shield and the sword, and there's that driving music as they put it on, or it's a more modern movie and they're putting on their bulletproof vest and the face paint, and they tie that thing around their head and they're like, yeah, you know, tighten, and they get their assault rifle, and you know, there's always that scene in the movie where the warrior is getting suited up. But that same kind of idea is found in Scripture. There's a portion of Scripture that tells us as believers, us as Christ followers, that we need to suit up, that we need to put on some things so we can live the life that God has for us. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, Ephesians is written by Paul, and Paul at this time is in Roman prison. And while he's writing to the church of Ephesus, he's talking to them about how they can live a strong Christian life. He really tells them two things predominantly throughout the book. He talks to them about their identity, and he tells them who they are. You are God's chosen. You are His royal priesthood, that you are created for greatness, that you are forgiven, that you are holy, that you are worthy. He tells them who they are. And then he tells them what they need to do to navigate in a world that's full of sin. And it's funny because sometimes we can think that now we live in a world of sin. We're like, yeah, but Paul, you didn't have the internet, right? But see, even way back then, Paul realized that there was a lot of temptation. There was a lot of things in this world that would try to bring destruction into people's lives. So he said, here's what you need to know. You know who you are, and you know how to navigate those things. But then he, at the end of the book, chapter 6, he says to them, finally, and he talks to them about how they need to put on the full armor of God, about how they need to get suited up. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of how we need to get suited up and how we need to be following Christ in everything that we do. As Paul was writing it, he was inspired, because remember I said he was in prison. And while he was prison, in a Roman prison, he was observing the ones oppressing him. He was observing his captors. And while he was writing this, he was inspired by God, and he realized that there is some armor that we can put on in the spiritual. So while he sat there and he looked at these guards guarding him, he realized the power of what they had put on to be prepared for battle. And so this week, we're going to look at a couple verses, and we're going to talk about the purpose of the armor. And the next following weeks, we're going to look at the specific different pieces of armor, and we're going to answer some questions. What are they? What are they for? And how do we put them on? What's the purpose of all this? And what are they for in our daily lives? And how do we intentionally on a daily basis put these pieces on so that we can put on the full armor of God. Now, I want to read the whole portion of Scripture to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 through 18. It's 8 verses. And y'all know I like to get excited and preach, so I got to just not preach it. I got to just read it. So we're going to read it, and then we're going to walk through it and talk about what it says. Here we go. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." It's a powerful portion of Scripture about how we as believers need to suit up. So like I said, today we're going to talk through verses 10 through 13. But over the next few weeks, we're going to look at all the individual pieces of armor and say, what was Paul speaking? What was the purpose? And how do we put these things on in our life? You know, just a couple weeks ago, Rachel and I had some friends over to the house and we're hanging out, and Rachel started teasing me, like occasionally happens. And she said, "Hey, you know, Tristan, when I first met him, he had a really thick northern accent." And I said, "No, I didn't. I grew up in Michigan." I said, "No, I didn't have a northern accent." She said, "Baby, you had a thick northern accent, right? Give me a bag and a flag, right?" And she said, "You had a strong northern accent." I said, "No, I didn't." And she said, "I can prove it to you." I was like, "How? How can you prove it to me?" She said, "Do you remember last time we went and visited your parents back in Michigan? Your dad busted out that VHS tape. Y'all remember VHS tapes? And he had a VHS tape, and on it was a recording of the first sermon I ever preached in big church," right? Y'all, this is big church, right? And so the first sermon I ever preached in big church, and Rachel said, "Your dad played that for us, and we looked at you at 16 years old, and you had a thick northern accent." I said, "Baby, no, I did not." And she said, "Yes, you did, and I can prove it to you. Because if you remember right, your dad emailed you that video." And I said, "You're right, he did." And so through the power of technology, my dad transferred it from VHS into digital computer pixels or something, I don't know, so that I could have it. And so I said, "Okay, well, let me get up." Pulled my computer up, and I searched for it, and I played it and threw it up on the TV, and sure enough, she was right. I had a thick northern accent. And so I'm sitting there watching myself embarrassed because my accent, but then also I had these massive sideburns, y'all, like gigantic monster sideburns. And as I'm sitting there watching and we're kind of laughing, I realized something. Back when I was 16, I had the opportunity to preach in my church, and my pastor said, "You can pick anything you want to preach on." You know what I preached about? Ephesians chapter 6. I didn't even remember this. And we're sitting there laughing, and I'm watching myself 20 years ago almost talk about what the Bible has to say about suiting up. And so I've got a special treat for you this morning. We brought some of the footage to show you from me at 16 talking about how we need to suit up.
"What are you ready for?" And I thought, "I have to be ready to fight, you know, for every day." That's the message this morning, that we have to be ready for spiritual warfare. And everything we do, everywhere we go, things catching up at every angle. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to go to war, what do I have to have? The armor, obviously.
Obviously.
In this verse, Paul's talking about a Roman soldier. He's comparing the armor of a soldier to what a Christian needs to show the law. Let me start in verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." That's my first point. We have to put on the full armor. Because you can't just go out, you know, you can't go and be saved and say, "Oh, I'm saved, I can deal with anything." Or, "Oh, you know, I pray, that's my plan for that. I'm prepared for anything to say throughout." But we have to put on the whole thing so we can be ready. Because a soldier, you know, if he didn't put on his leggings, you know, he gets in the leg of the sword, what would he do? He'd be down to count, you know? But our struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But therefore, here it goes again. But therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you will stand firm. After you got hit
by Satan,
after tempting you, after you torn down, you have to be able to stand, but you can have armor. And with the armor of God, you can stand up next.
Yeah.
So you see, since way back in the day, I've been learning and God's been saying, hey, you've got to suit up. You've got to put on some intentional things. You know, I was looking good in that three-piece suit with the matching vest. I was ready. All my friends were trying to grow some sideburns and they couldn't quite do it. I said, oh, I'll show you some sideburns. And that's what was happening there. But the truth is that in our life on a daily basis, we need to be intentional about listening to what Paul said and suiting up and covering ourselves in some protection, because it's true. We're in a warfare. We're in battle. Now, you might not see it. It may not be something that you're really aware of on a daily basis, but there is an enemy that wants to bring destruction to you, destruction to your health, destruction to your family, and destruction to everything God has for you. So I want to walk through these first three verses. The first thing Paul says is he says, finally. He says, finally. It's the first thing. He's saying, after I've written five chapters, after I've written all of this to you and told you how much God loves you and who you are and how to live a strong life, he said, this is the summation. This is the tight thing that I want you to walk away with. He says, finally. Next, he says, be strong. Everyone say, be strong. Be strong. He says, finally, be strong. Don't be weak, don't be timid, don't be afraid, don't be nervous, don't be insecure, be strong. Walk with strength, walk with authority. Did you know that you were created to walk with strength? That God made you to walk in authority. Adam and Eve, when God created them in the garden, he told them to have dominion. Having dominion means to having dominance. That he created us to live with dominance. Now, that doesn't mean dominance in a negative aspect that you're putting other people down, but it means that you're walking with a confidence that God has created you for great things. And if you're living life from a weak perspective, then you're missing out on everything God has intended for you. So don't walk weak. Don't walk afraid. Don't walk timid. The Bible says, finally, be strong. He goes on and he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Everyone say, in the Lord. And in his mighty power. We have to be strong in God. Sometimes we can think that our strength comes from our intellect, or that our strength comes from our muscles, or that our strength comes from how much money we have in our wallet. But the Bible says that our strength that lasts, because you see, intellect, it can fade away, and muscles, they fade away, and money is fleeting. But that the strength of the Lord is something that will be with you every single day. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. But how? How are we strong? Finally, be strong in the Lord. But how? He says in the very next verse. He says, put on the full, everyone say full. Put on the full armor of God. That we need to put the whole thing on. Because the truth is, without the armor, we're soft. You think about the human body, our condition, we aren't very tough just on our own. You know, I've gotten softer as the years have progressed. You know, I'm working on it. Help me, Jesus, right? We are soft. So God is saying, hey, I know that you're soft. I know that you have a weak condition. So what you need to do is you need to suit up. You need to put some armor on so that you can stand against what happens. Put on the whole armor of God. And he says the full armor. It's not like a buffet option. It's not a smorgasbord where you just pick some and you leave the other. He says put on the full armor. And a lot of times as believers, what we can do is we like to pick and choose the pieces of the armor that we want. We say, you know, God, today I'm going to go up. I want to put on the shoes of peace. Because I want the shoes of peace because I want my life to be peaceful. I don't want to be stressed out. I don't want to be overwhelmed and worried. So God, let me have peace. But, you know, I don't really want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because righteousness means that we're going to live righteously, that we're going to be making righteous decisions. So God, give me peace. But I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to live righteously. Who knows that if I was like a part of the drug cartel and was like smuggling drugs into America, who knows that I probably wouldn't have much peace. You don't know why? I'm worried the FDA or somebody's going to come raid my house. And so when you're not living righteously, it's very difficult to have peace. And so the Bible says put on the full armor of God, that we have to put on all the pieces. Many of us, we would say, yeah, I want the belt of truth. I want to live with truth. I want to understand the truth, but I don't want to pick up the sword of the Word of God because we think that our truth is based on our opinion. Isn't that the society that we live in, that truth is just what you decide it is? And so I want to have truth, but I don't want to pick up the word, because what if the word of God contradicts my truth? Well, then now I'm in a conundrum. That's why the Bible says we have to pick up the whole armor of God. Sometimes we would say, yeah, you know what, I want the helmet of salvation, because if I die, I want to go to heaven and not go to hell. So let me get some fire insurance real quick and put on the helmet of salvation. But yet we don't want to pick up the shield of faith. Because the only real way that you can have faith is to be in a trial, is to be in a situation where faith is needed, is to be in a situation that's really difficult. So we want salvation because it's offered freely, but we don't want to pick up the shield of faith because it's very difficult to grow and to gain faith. You know, you get faith through walking through difficult things, you know. Have you ever came into a worship service but you're afraid about something happening? It takes faith to worship anyways. It takes faith to be fearful about something happening at home, but still know that God is good and worship Him. It takes faith to be really busy in life, but to still serve. It takes faith to believe and understand that God is your provider, that He gives you everything that you have, and then to be obedient to Him and return the tithe to God. They got quiet on me, Jesus. They were all excited about power and victory and authority. And then I started talking about faith. Everybody got nervous. But you see, the Bible says that we have to put on the whole armor, that we have to put on the full armor of God. Because if a soldier leaves off one piece, he's going to be vulnerable in that area. And so they suit up, so they're prepared for the battle that lies ahead. You know, me, I hate trying stuff on. I hate going to the mall, trying stuff on. Every once in a while, Rachel will say, hey, Tristan, it's time. It's time. Your clothes starting to look raggedy. They're out of style. They don't fit anymore. Help me, Jesus, right? And so it's time to go to the store and get some new clothes. And so here's what happens. She takes me to the mall, and we walk around, and I'm thinking I have to buy, like, a shirt or, like, a pair of pants. Rachel has a whole other objective. And so I get, like, a shirt and, like, a pair of pants, and I look over, and Rachel has her arms out with superhuman strength with, like, 98 shirts and 43 pair of pants. And I'm like, I have to try all that on. She's like, every piece. And so we go to the dressing room, and I go into the dressing room. I have to take off my shoes and my clothes, you know, and she throws all these clothes in there, and then she sits out there like my mom, and I have to put clothes on, and I have to come out, and I have to spin around, and I have to do this whole thing, and she gives me thumbs up or thumbs down, and then I buy whatever she tells me that I have to buy. And so then we take the clothes, and we argue about it, because she says, that shirt will look nice. I say, Rachel, that shirt is white with little blue turtles. Turtles aren't blue. These are little turtles. Why do you want me to buy that shirt? Because it's on sale and it looks nice. Okay, let's go buy it. And so that's what happens. We buy all the clothes. I try them all on. We buy the clothes. Then I'm leaving the store, right, guys? I just fulfilled my objective. I just purchased clothes. Now it's time to leave. But Rachel, if we're in the store, is still looking. And so I'm carrying the bags, leaving, and I turn around, and my wife is nowhere to be seen. So I go back, and there she is, holding up a new pair of pants. And I'm like, I am not trying those on. And she goes, and I know she's right, because I had a northern accent, so I got to just put the pants on. And so now I'm mad, because it's a lot of work to try on clothes, right? You got to go into the dressing room, and you got to do what? You got to take off all your old clothes. So you got to take off your shoes, I got to undo my belt, I got to take off my pants. Now I got to try on the new pants. You see, the only way that you can put on something new is to take off something old. And so the Bible's telling us that we have to put on something new. And we understand that when it comes to getting dressed. We understand that if I'm going shoe shopping, I have to take my shoe off to try my new shoe on. I have to take my pants off to put my new pants on. We understand that in the physical. But sometimes in the spiritual, we don't understand it. You see, I go into a dressing room, and I'm very focused on the new things I'm going to put on. Yeah. She's got all the shirts in there hung up. I'm focused on what I'm putting on. I don't even pay attention to the clothes I wore in, because the clothes I wore in, I've already worn before. I already own, they're already paid for. So I take them off, I throw them on a little bench. I don't pay attention, and I put on the new clothes. Yeah. But in our walk with God, what happens is we pay too much attention to the clothes we're taking off and not enough attention to the clothes we're putting on. And we say, God, forgive me of my sin. Help me take it off. Help me deal with this addiction. Help me get this thing off of my back. Help me change my mindset. And we focus on our sin, 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 problem, problem, difficulty, difficulty. We focus on that, but then we never put anything new on. If you walk into a dressing room without new clothes and you take off your old clothes, what are you? You're naked, and then you're vulnerable, and then that's easy for you to get attacked. So what we need to do to find victory in life is not only take off our old grave clothes, hello, not just take off the things from a past season, but to be intentional about putting on the full armor of God. Because it's when we put on something new that we can then walk in victory. And so the heart of the series is for all of us to learn about what are we putting on. God, forgive me my sins. God, help me stop doing this. Help me stop doing that. That's the beginning, but not the finish line. Okay, now that I'm clean, now that I have the things off of me, I now have to suit up. I now have to put the things on that I'm supposed to have on so I can deal with the problems that I'm having. You've got to take the wrong things off. You see, we have to take off insecurity so we can put on confidence. We have to take off negativity, right, so we can put on positivity. We have to take off weakness so that we can then put on strength. We have to take off doubt before we can put on faith. See, those two are in contrast with each other. They're fighting, doubt and faith. So take one off, but don't just not put anything else on, or you're going to be naked. Put faith then on. You have to take off I can't to be able to put on I can. You have to take off timidity to put on authority. Well, I'm just afraid. I'm just nervous. I'm just scared of everything in life. Okay, well, stop focusing on what you're taking off and start being intentional about what you're putting on. Put strength on. You've got you have to take off fear to put on peace. We have to take things off to put the right things on. Man, it's so good. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God. See, putting on armor is an indication that you're about to be in a fight. Right? If you put on an apron, it's because you're about to cook dinner. Right? If you put on a uniform, you're about to go and play a game. If you put on a costume, you're about to go trick-or-treating. Right? That's what happens. But if you put on armor, it's about to go down. You're about to be into a fight. And so God is telling us that we need to armor up because a fight is coming, because there's something that's going to come to bring destruction. But who are we fighting with? Trust me, you're talking about fights, and you got some armor dudes up there on stage, and you're getting all excited. Who are we fighting with? Well, the Bible says, it goes on in verse 6, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil, Satan, Beelzebub, Diablo, right? That's who we're fighting. That's who we are in war with. That we need to be intentional about suiting up, because that's who we're in war with. Now, one of these days, we'll do a series on the devil. I don't think we're ready for that yet. That's going to be too intense. Because it's very important for us to understand our enemy so that we can strategize against him so we can know what he's coming attacking us with. But I don't have time to teach a whole thing on the personality and the character of the devil. But let me just tell you a few things the Bible says. It says the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It says that the devil is very cunning, that his goal is to lead our thoughts astray. The Bible says that he's come to blind the mind of unbelievers. So the people that don't know God are blinded to the fact that God loves them. You ever met somebody who doesn't know God and thinks God is mad at them? They're blinded to the fact that God loves people. He comes to manipulate us. It says that he's the accuser of the brethren. So the reason we feel condemned and the reason we feel bad about something we did in the past is because the devil's sitting there accusing us. He's an accuser. It tells us that he disguises himself as light. He disguises himself as things that are good, but truthfully, he's a murderer. The Bible says that he's a liar and there's no truth in him, that when he speaks out of his own character. On Easter Sunday, I said that God operates out of the consistency of his character. So because he was good then, we know that he's good now. But the devil does the same thing. He operates out of the consistency of his character. And the Bible says that his character is to lie. God is truth. The enemy is a liar. And so he lies to us. The Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone whom he can devour. That's who we're fighting, y'all. That's who we're fighting. That's who we're in spiritual warfare with, is someone who is intentionally trying to bring destruction to us. You see, the person that you were fighting with, you're not seated next to. You're not fighting your wife, men. You're not fighting your husbands, ladies. You're not fighting your boss. You're not fighting against that coworker that makes you crazy that you just want to slap, right? You're not fighting against them. The Bible says that we're fighting against principalities and powers, that we're fighting against things that we can't even see, that we don't even realize that are happening. Just because the devil is invisible doesn't mean that he's fictional. What the enemy wants you to think, that the devil is just a little chubby dude in a red tuxedo with horns and a little pitchfork smiling, smoking a stogie, right? That's what he wants you to think that he is. But what he is a very cunning, manipulative enemy that wants to bring destruction to you and to all that you love. He's there to kill you. And so what happens is, because we don't see him, we only fight against what we can see. So he wants to bring strife between me and my wife, right? And so what happens is he comes in and brings distraction and destruction, and then because I can't see him, I can only see her. I then want to use my earthly weapons, my voice, my anger, my frustration, to use it against her. And she wants to use her words against me. And we focus all of our energy trying to fight battles that are on a totally different battlefield. The war is a totally different place. And so what we have to do is we have to suit up and realize that we're in a spiritual battle in our lives for our freedom. We're in a spiritual battle for our freedom. It says that the devil, he's a schemer. He's a schemer, that he wants to scheme against us. You know, over the years, I've learned how to forgive people, that if you wrong me or you do something negative to me or you lie about me, I've gotten pretty good at forgiving. It might take me a minute or it might take me a month, right? But after an amount of time, I'm going to be able to forgive somebody. But if you're scheming against me and I find out that you're studying me and you are creating strategy to bring my destruction and you're looking at what time I go to do things and you're looking at how I think and you're looking at how I process and you're using that against me, that's a whole nother scenario. If I find out that you don't just offend me, but you're coming and scheming to bring destruction, but then you're going after my wife, and you're looking into her past, and you're looking into her personality, and you're trying to find her insecurities so that you can get at her, so that you can get at her, and then you can get at me, and you can use her story and her past, you can use my failures and my temptations to then ward each other and bring destruction to my home, that's a whole different story. I'm not just going to forgive you and walk away, and it's not just going to be a thing I'm not thinking about. But then I find out that you also have your eyes set on my children, that you want to destroy the things that God has placed in my children, their future, their purity, their own confidence. That's a whole other situation. I can't just walk away from that and forgive. But no, we've got to get suited up. We've got to stand in the doorway of our home, and we've got to say, devil, I'm going to stand my ground. And after I've done everything to stand, I'm going to keep standing firm, and I'm going to fight the attack that the enemy wants to bring into my home. It says that he's full of schemes to bring destruction to us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read it again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I know that when I read that, some of y'all are like, dude, this guy's getting real sci-fi up in here. Like, what is this dude talking about? Other realms and demons and angels? What is he talking about? You see, Paul's terminology here of spiritual realm, he's talking about spiritual warfare. We try to fight a lot of battles within the five senses that we have. What do we see? What do we hear? What do we feel? We try to fight here, but Paul's saying there's a whole other thing happening. There's a whole other realm of warfare that we have to be enlightened to, and I don't have time to do a full teaching on it. But all throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul references this spiritual place, this heavenly place. I want to just read a couple of verses. Ephesians 1:3, he says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realm. So God blesses us to operate in a realm that we don't see. He blesses us there. Ephesians 2:6, it says that he has seated us with him in heavenly places. So though we're here on earth in the physical, that he has also seated us there in this heavenly place to do war in the spiritual. And it says this in chapter 3, verse 10. It says, the manifold wisdom of God, the entire wisdom of God, might now be made known through the church to the rulers, to the devil, and the authorities in heavenly places. That the wisdom of God can be put in us, and then we can sit in a heavenly place, and in that heavenly place, we're blessed. We have a blessing so that we can suit up and conquer the enemy through the attacks that he is bringing us. He's seated us there. He's blessed us so that we can wage war. And the impression to me is that there's a lot of things happening in this heavenly realm. There's a lot of stuff happening in the spiritual realm that we can't see. But everything visible and physical is preceded by something spiritual and invisible. You understand that? Everything physical that we see, everything that we experience is preceded by something spiritual and invisible. And so instead of fighting here, we have to start fighting here. We have to start getting on our knees and praying and saying, God, here's my struggle, here's my problem, here's my difficulty. Not just take something off, but put something on in prayer and wage war against the enemy that's trying to bring destruction to you. You see, if you want to address something in the visible and the physical, we must do work in the spiritual. Because without addressing the invisible root, you know, there's like the ground and the root is under the ground. Without dealing with the root, you're going to be constantly frustrated by the fruit. And so what happens is we wonder, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep struggling with this? Why do I keep sinning when I don't want to sin? It's because what we try to do is deal with this problem within our own will and within our own self-control and within our own strength. But this wears out, y'all. And so we have to get on our knees, we have to pray, and we have to pluck the root out. We have to deal with the thing that we cannot see so we can have victory over the things that we do see. Man, I'm preaching better than y'all, let me know. That's okay. You see, our problems in life, they have very little to do with the fruit that we see and a lot to do with what we don't see. For Rachel and I, sometimes we'll get into an argument or we'll have some kind of conflict come up and I'll feel it. You know how you can feel like, oh, it's about to go down in Funky Town up in here, right? And so in that moment, I've learned that what we're arguing about has very little to do with what we're arguing about. It's funny to me that almost every Saturday night, something happens that wants to create frustration between us. You wanna know why? Because God knows I'm about to get up here and make the devil mad on Sunday. And so he's trying to distract me. And so now what we've learned to do is say, wait a minute, before I say something that's gonna hurt you, before you say something that's gonna frustrate me, let's just take a minute. Let me go pray. I usually try to send her to pray, but I gotta do it first, you know what I'm saying? And so I gotta go and pray and I say, God, help me. What's happening? Help me to see what's happening in a spiritual realm that I'm unaware of, that I don't have eyes to see. God, open my eyes so that I could see what's happening. And when we do that, we put on the armor and then we can fight the fight that we really need to fight. You see, what we do in the heavenlies affects our advancement in the physical, affects our authority in the physical. So what we have to do is be intentional about praying. When I understood this idea, this truth, man, I'm telling you, it's changed my life, y'all. I wish that 16-year-old Trustin would have understood this. Because I got up in front of big church and did my very best to try to explain how you got to put on the armor of God, but I didn't know what I was talking about. I was up there trying my very best and I was sharing good truth, but I didn't understand the depth of it. That there was an enemy trying to kill me and that I have to, through prayer, I can find freedom. And for years, I was struggling with trying to pluck all the fruit off the tree. I was trying to pluck the fruit of sin and lust and anger. I was trying to get all this fruit off and go and hide it so nobody could see it. But all the while, there was just an enemy who was trying to just keep sowing seed in my mind, keep sowing seed in my heart, keep sowing seed in temptation, that I had to learn how to deal with that there. You know, something that I've started doing just in the last, I don't know, 4 years maybe since we had Lillian, is I've started journaling a bunch. Maybe not a bunch, but on a regular basis. And I write about things God's speaking to me, and I write about things I'm praying about. And like, if my house were to burn down, I would get my family, my kids, and grab all my journals. Because it's something that God has poured out for me to speak, you know, speak into my life through as I'm writing things. And as I was praying over the series over the last 3 weeks, I just started to write, and God started to ask me some questions. And I wrote some things that I want to share with y'all. I wrote, when I started, I said, what if everything you did affected everything you did? It's kind of a weird question. But what if everything you did really did affect everything that happened? What if the sin that I allowed into my life really did sow seed in my children? What if what walks in the Father really does run in the Son? What if that's true? What if the attitudes that I don't deal with really do create chaos in my marriage? What if me not doing everything I need to do on a daily basis really does not only affect the staff of the church, but the body as a whole? What if that's really true? What if everything physical is preceded by something spiritual? And so I just started to pray about that and said, God, what? I need you to open my eyes. I need you to help me understand what are you sharing with me? What are you doing? Why are we preaching this series? Why have you laid this on my heart? And I wrote some things, and I felt like God, I didn't have a vision. This is not like divine revelation. It's all in the Bible. He just brought it to mind. He said, Trustin, you are on the big screen in the Times Square of heaven. You ever seen Times Square? They have all the video screens. He gave me this picture that in heaven, there's a big screen somewhere, and on it is me, is my life. And he said, all of heaven is watching and is cheering you on and is shouting your name and has foam fingers that say, Trustin, 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 right? And they're cheering for me. And when you start doing bad, they keep cheering. And then they war for you, they fight for you, they encourage you. You see, the Bible says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Yeah. And so it's not just me up in heaven on the big screen, it's you too. Yeah. So I'm on this big screen, everyone's cheering for me. The Bible says that not only we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but it says that if one person accepts Jesus into their heart, that all of heaven rejoices, yeah. Right? So there's this imagery of heaven looking down on us, seeing what we're doing, cheering. But the devil is the antithesis of God. He's the opposite. God is truth. He is a lie. And so the opposite would be true. And God spoke to me and he said that there's a God in heaven cheering for you, but there's a devil in hell scheming against you. That demons stand in hell and strategize your demise. And I got this imagery of Satan standing in a boardroom at a big table. He's standing there and behind him is a whiteboard. And on the whiteboard is my picture printed out, taped on the whiteboard. He picks up his little devil phone, and he says, hey, I need anger, and I need lust. Send in bitterness. Send in resentment. Send in insecurity. We've got to have a meeting about trusting. Yeah, yeah. And all these demons would come in. They would sit down, and the devil would talk about me and say what I'm doing on earth, about how they have to strategize to bring destruction. So he'd get his marker and he'd go to the whiteboard and he'd start to write, we can insert insecurity here. We can cause this dilemma in his life here. We're going to get his wife in this way and that will bring defeat to him here. And he began to strategize and outline ways to bring my demise. And can I tell you something? The exact same thing is happening to you. That all of heaven is celebrating you and rejoicing and believing in you. And all of hell is wanting to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God has. And we're stuck in the middle of this war. And so God has given us a gift. He's told us to suit up. He said, you've got to put these pieces on so that you can advance in this war that you cannot even see. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. They're not carnal weapons. But on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, we just finished this series, His ways are greater than my ways. If God's ways are greater than my ways, so his thoughts are to prosper us, what are the devil's thoughts for us? What does he plan for us? God's ways are greater than our ways are probably pretty good because we all want to have success, but his ways are to destroy us. And we have to realize that we are in a fight, y'all, that we have to put on the armor so that we can accomplish everything that God has for us to do. So the question is, are you going to suit up? Are you going to suit up? Are you going to live a life that says, you know what, I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just attend church and like do the church thing and check off the box like I do when I go to the mall. Or am I going to be a man of God? Am I going to be a woman of God and understand that God has something great for me to accomplish, and so I'm going to suit up? You know the way that you suit up is through prayer. Yeah. is through prayer. Traditionally, and the first time I preached it back in the day, traditionally, this is, the armor is preached with six pieces. Everybody talks about the six pieces of the armor of God. But over the last 3 weeks, as I was praying about this and figuring out, God, what, I'm missing something. What do you want to say? I realized that there's a seventh piece of armor that you put on. You know, I've had the privilege of being friends with some people in the armed forces, some police officers, some SWAT guys. As I get to know them, I realize that all of these men and women, they have another piece of armor, if you will, that they put on that isn't visible. And you know what it is? It's their voice. My friend Adam here, he's on Dallas SWAT. I've talked about him before. And Rachel and I were over at Adam and Stacey's house hanging out eating tacos one night. And he gets a call on his walkie-talkie or whatever they called him, I don't know. And he says, hey, I got a call. And so he goes from kickback in shorts and a t-shirt to now into his room, and he comes out in full SWAT gear. And can I tell you something? His voice changed. He went from laughing and joking and being goofy to now he's in mission mode. And there's something that happens when you suit up. You know, police officers, they do training. They do voice training. I talked to the police chief. He comes to the first service with his wife, and I talked to him, and he said that, yeah, they do voice training. Because if an officer goes up to a car and says, I see that you have some drugs and guns in the car. Would you please get out of the vehicle? That would be really pleasant for me, right? They're going to get punched and dude's going to drive away, right? And so the police officers, they have to train how to operate their voice as a tool, as a weapon, so they can have some authority. And you see, the Bible, it says in the very next verse, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, and meaning that this is in conjunction with what I just talked about, and pray in the Spirit, I don't have time, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You see, you cannot have victory if you do not pray. You cannot have victory if you do not pray. You can have momentary victory built on your pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and based on your self-control. You can have momentary victory, but you cannot have lasting victory unless you do not pray. You know what? I want Living Church to be a house of powerful preaching. I want Living Church to be a house where children are being raised up and we're developing the next generation. I want Living Church to be a house where worship is free and people are meeting God. But above all that, I want Living Church to be a house of prayer. That we are people that know how to pray. That when we go to war, we don't just go to war within our own intellect or within our own finances, but that we go to war with the Spirit of God inside of us, saying that no matter what hell strategizes, that God has something greater for me. Because y'all, we cannot win by ourselves. We can't win by ourselves. We're soft. I don't know about you, but man, my mind is weak sometimes. And temptation is strong sometimes. And the devil is after me sometimes. And unless I'm submitted and I'm suited up and I'm having a strong prayer life, man, I can't accomplish the things that God has for me. So, I got two challenges for you. First challenge is this. Don't miss a week. Don't miss a week of this series. If you're gone on vacation, still go to Disneyland. Like, I'm not saying cancel your vacation, but watch it online. Jump on. We post it on social media. It's on the website. Watch it. Listen to it. Grow. Develop yourself and understand what the pieces of armor are. But the second challenge is this. Pray every day. Pray every day. 5 minutes. Pray for 5 minutes. If you don't pray right now, wake up in the morning and pray for 5 minutes. Please watch what happens in your life. Go to a spare bedroom. Go to somewhere where nobody is. Wait till you're in your car and sit in your car, not driving. We'll drive to work, listen to the radio, listen to a bunch of stupid people talk for 30 minutes driving to work, but we won't talk to God, the creator of the universe, for 5 minutes. So take 5 minutes and say, God, here's where I am. Here's what's going on. Here's what the flaming arrows of Satan are doing in my mind. I need you to help me. And I'm telling you that if you'll take 5 minutes to pray, God will grow your faith. And he'll make you stronger and more powerful and able to stand up against the things that the enemy's trying to do in your life. Will you commit to that? Pray for 5 minutes? Okay. You know, before we go, I've got to believe that there's somebody in this room that came into church this morning thinking, I don't know why I'm going. What am I even going for? What's even going to happen? But you didn't just wander in here haphazardly. God brought you here for a reason. You know, the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned bad, and I've messed up. But I had to go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry I did those things I knew I shouldn't have done. God, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. And God loves us so much that he doesn't look at the bad things that we've done. He looks at our heart to change. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us, to be the one who would come and forgive us of our sins, to pay the penalty for our unrighteousness. And that all we have to do is say, God, forgive me my sins and come into my heart, and we'll put on the helmet of salvation. And this thing that's really vulnerable in attack will be covered in salvation, and that we can live a life of freedom knowing that God has forgiven us from our sins. So all across this room, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, if that's you this morning, and you would say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you stand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray a prayer from your heart to God's heart that asks God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. If that's you, on the count of three, raise it up. One, two, three. If that's you, yep, right here. Yep, right here. Anybody else? All over the room. Yep, three, four. Anybody else? Say, today's my day. I don't want to wait. Come on. Yep, right here. Yep, I see you in the back. Keep going. Six, seven. Anybody else? Say, today's my day. I don't want to wait. You can put it down once you put it up. Living Church, would you pray for me and these seven or eight that raised their hand this morning? Just repeat after me. Everyone say, dear God, forgive me my sins and come into my heart. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. Even when it gets hard, I'm not going to give up. We thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.